Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Get our main verse. Zach is going to read Matthew 10, 27 through 32. Caleb, Matthew 10, 28. Brian, Zechariah 3, 1. Tony, Matthew 10, 29. Neil, Matthew 10, 31. Okay. So we started, we kind of got distracted by the building, but we had a series of master's class of pioneering. We're going through Matthew 10, which is a launching passage. Jesus is sending them into the ministry, and he gives a number of practical instructions that we can apply to the principle of pioneering a church. And so we're moving through the master's class on pioneering. Today we're going to talk about more than sparrows. Matthew 10, 27 through 32.
Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Okay, more than sparrows. Let's begin. Let's talk about diminished value for a moment. And again, I want you to think about the context. Jesus knows what these men are going to face, and so he is preparing them in advance. So one of the issues Jesus is dealing with here is the thought of having a wrong idea of our worth in the kingdom. And so pioneering by definition is you are starting small. It's very rare that we've had anybody who has started with any large group of people. By definition, we send out a husband and wife, and sometimes they may have kids, sometimes they may not. So it starts small. The issue then becomes, in the struggle, Jesus, in the passage, we've looked at a number of issues, is that this is difficult. Pioneering is not something that is easy, but it's difficult. And so he is preparing them that what can happen when you're dealing with smallness in the ministry is to see your accomplishments as small, because you're not seeing 100 people at a time or whatever. So then the ideas that can come into our minds is I'm not adding anything significant. What I'm doing here is of not great value, clearly, because look at the numbers that are not coming. So then the issue often becomes moving from accomplishments to ability. That's the next thing that happens, is we begin to see ourselves as being small, and some people that's a matter of the size of the city. They're you know, there's a husband and wife in a city of millions, and so the thought comes, in this big city, who am I kidding that I'm going to make any kind of difference? And then the dangerous part is, of course, when you begin to compare yourself, and that's always what happens is, while you are struggling, then you will hear of some brother that he had an outreach and 7 million people came and 4 million got saved. And you're like, you know, is it even worth going on? So what Jesus is dealing with is a very famous passage about your value worth more than sparrows. But again, get the context. The context, he's speaking to those who are going to be pioneering. And so the conclusion that we can come to is that we actually have little value, like a little sparrow. If we're here today, gone tomorrow, who's going to miss it? If a bird dies, you know, the world goes on. And so this becomes very personal. is it's not just that my ministry or my church is small, but rather this is a reflection of value. I have no value. I am therefore very small. So this is a strategy of hell that comes against everyone who's going to pioneer. Matthew 10:28.
And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Okay, so he is, because Jesus is honest, he puts pioneering in the context of opposition, because that's the reality, as we've looked at in different ways, that Jesus is very honest. You're going to have opposition from people. You're going to have opposition from hell. And so what happens is the enemy begins to distort our perspective, how we view ourselves, God, God's care for us. This is one of the issues that happens. You have to have a balance in ministry. Not everybody is going to get saved. Not everybody's going to stay saved. And so you should care about that. But an unhealthy conclusion in this is my fault, right? They chose to go back to sin, fornicate with their girlfriend. You know, if I'd have been a better pastor, they wouldn't have fornicated. I don't think that your pastoring skill had anything to do with that. That's a personal choice. People make bad decisions, and we take that on ourselves, that somehow this is, if I preach better, they wouldn't be making bad decisions. Zechariah 3, verse 1.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him.
Okay, this is the strategy of hell. Joshua, Zechariah is such an interesting book. He is allowing him to see into the heavenlies and the earth at the same time. And he says, Joshua, the high priest, and what's happening? Hell is throwing accusations. And so that's what happens when you're trying to do a work for God. So why does Jesus tell them that? The reason why is when we are battling with issues of value, you can make bad decisions. And that really do affect to yourself or your ministry. Some people quit, literally. I can't go on in preaching. Some people quit internally. But this is the problem. I've had men who say, I need to come home tomorrow. Why? Because you need somebody here who can really help them, as though they don't have what it takes. Well, that's from hell. And I understand sometimes people don't stay in the ministry for various reasons, but when this is simply an issue of I am struggling with my worth, that's not healthy. Then you have people that change their theology, and this is one of the crucial factors in ministry, is that we begin to change what we believe, that we now then look at the little impact that we see ourselves making, and now we change God's word. We turn that into, yeah, but, well, of course that guy had 7 million saved. Look at the city he's in. You know, in my city, the devils, and so some, their theology is how big and bad the devil is. Suffering, some people think this is God's will, that God is deliberately holding out on you to make you suffer. And so even though we have been taught as disciples, there are things that are not acceptable, which the whole idea of me teaching you things that are not acceptable is that you don't accept them, that you don't say, well, that's just the way it is. And so, but the problem is in the struggle, we begin to say, well, this is acceptable. And that's something that is deadly. So let's talk secondly about the God who pays attention. Again, this is a famous passage, and I've heard and preached sermons out of this, not connected to pioneering, but the context is actually pioneering. So Jesus, knowing that people are going to struggle with their own sense of value, the answer that he gives is God pays attention to pioneers. Matthew 10:29.
Two sparrows cost only a penny, but not even one of them can die without your Father knowing it.
Okay, so he is saying if God sees little birds, he, of course, sees you. and values you. So, think about God. Number one, God sees your labor, not just your success. God does not just look at people and say, okay, numerically, what were the results that came out of that? I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to do things in life, you're not going to get great results. That's just the nature of life. And so what God looks at is not simply your success, but he looks at your labor. This is the mistake of men who go out and you only hear from them if they have the scoreboard report. You know, how many say we had a great outreach today, but if it was not a good outreach, of which, hey man, sometimes you get rained out, right? That's the way life is. And I told you about my first outreach in South Africa. Lightning struck, blew up the projector, you know, Noah's Ark, you know, cats were floating down the street. I mean, it was bad. I had three kids and a dog, and the dog didn't want to get saved. That's the way it is. That's kind of how life goes sometimes. And so, but some people think that only my value, pastor doesn't want to hear from me if things are not going well. He only wants to hear good reports. And that's a skewed perspective. So God does not say your value is numerical, okay? But he says, and in what the Bible speaks about is your labor, a cup of cold water given in the name of a prophet, right? You're doing something. That is what God values. Number two, the scripture says God sees your difficulty. Not only does he see your labor, he sees your difficulty. Verse 29, a sparrow falls to the ground. So God is well aware of the struggles of ministry, right? Jesus is the one sending him into ministry, preparing them for this thought, is that sometimes ministry is a struggle. But Jesus says God understands that. He knows what you are going through, and he sees your difficulty. And so, verse 29, he says, it talks about this, that apart from your Father's will. So one of the things that you learn in time, and you can often only see it after the fact, is struggles are going to be good for you. They're no fun. That doesn't mean they're fun. That doesn't mean that, wow, I'm suffering today. This is awesome. But I can tell you, looking back, there are things I've gone through. It's like, that was very good. And the reason why, it was not only good for me, but it's been good for other people. Blessings and benefits that have helped. So God sees your difficulty. Third thing is God sees things even you don't. Verse 30 says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. So God is paying attention to details that you aren't aware of, that you don't think are important, and are beyond your control. So here is this idea: when we're struggling with value, God is seeing. He is absolutely paying attention. This is one of the difficulties. In struggle, we think because I'm struggling, God is far away, right? Because if he was not far away, if he was close, that means everything would be different. Everything would be easy. Everything would be working well. That's not true. And so here's the idea that God pays attention. Third thought is Jesus talks about more than sparrows. So again, the context is pioneering. And Jesus says pioneers have great value. Matthew 10:31.
Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows.
Okay. Your value. These men that he was sending, maybe they went to a place and the response wasn't that great, but what they're doing was incredibly valuable. In those days, they were actually literally pioneering the entire church age. Our fellowship is built on pioneers. You see, of course, we have, conference speakers. Most of the conference speakers are, they pastor conference center churches, and that has to do with their experience in ministry and experience of the Word of God. But in actual fact, the kingdom of God is built by pioneers. Everything we have in our fellowship came because someone pioneered it. A mother church has one purpose, one main purpose, and that is to send. And that is to send pioneers. Our conferences are built around this idea. A conference that does not send churches is we actually are not happy with that, because that is the point of why we exist, is to plant churches. You're going to hear in the report this morning, we're going to rejoice that the conference in Mexico City, that they planted churches. That is what is valuable. And so think about this. Without pioneers, we wouldn't have a fellowship. Wouldn't be all the things that we see, our wonderful building. Well, that all came about because of pioneering. So that is why the devil attacks so strongly. That's why there is so much that happens in the head and the hearts of pioneers and struggling, because he's trying to prevent the good things that God wants to bring. And so Jesus winds up, the final thought here is that Jesus himself speaks on behalf of the pioneer. Verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And so this word confess is the idea is to confess allegiance, or literally to attest to one's character. So think about the context again. This, of course, has to do with witnessing and evangelism and all kinds of things. But the context is pioneering. A pioneer who Jesus knows at times is going to be struggling with their own sense of worth. Jesus says, I am going to testify for you. He doesn't say, I'm going to testify if you're hitting hot licks, running thousands, raking in millions. That's not what he says. He says, you are going to do the will of God. And he says, I am going to be speaking on your behalf. I'm going to be saying good things about you. That has to do with value. And then, of course, this has to do with prayer and all kinds of things. So Jesus tells us that the value of a pioneer is a crucial factor to understand, that we are worth more than sparrows. Okay, let's open for some questions. Maybe that brings up something you want to ask. Neil.
When you would get discouraged and or come to a place where you just maybe convince yourself you're ready to quit, what was it that you would do to break through that? I think I recall a conversation between you and your dad on the phone. But whenever you'd come up to that point of discouragement, or even to the point of saying, you know, this is not for me or something, you know, how would you break through that?
Well, you know, number one, you have different levels of discouragement. So there's, the crucial factor is your relationship with your wife. That is the most crucial factor, because you're going to spend more time with your wife than your pastor, right? So that's why guys who ignore their marriage, I have a bad marriage, but I'm going to have a great ministry. That's just not going to work. So your wife will encourage you. Having a great relationship, having a sense of humor, not taking everything personal. Those are ways that you know, there are things that are just laughable. I mean, you can, you know, come on, man. Here we're doing the best we can, and right at that moment, the lightning blows up the projector and the stinking dog is walking in my outreach inside. That was inside the building. What do you do? You're going to laugh. You just got to have a sense of humor. So those are things that, you know, and then your daily relationship with God. But then having relationship with a pastor is crucial for perspective. I get guys that they call, and simply calling, often it's not that I give them some incredible advice that they have never heard before in their life, but there's a connection. So that's also, there are times when, so your wife, that's why the Bible says he sent them two by two. That's what we do, right? So wife and ministry, your relationship with God, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Those are things that happen more than anything else than you're having ministry brothers as well. That's another factor. But your pastor, keeping contact, all those things, then encourage you over time. Somebody else. thinking any.
How did you balance out, knowing you mentioned that your value doesn't come from what you are necessarily, your performance, but how did you balance knowing that contending for God, believing for fruitfulness or whatever area that you need breakthrough in, and yet at the same time taking that on your shoulders, believing God and taking that on your shoulders and trying to do more and not take it personally when the outcome wasn't what you expected?
Yeah, so, an old saying is mature desperation is determination. Immature desperation is depression, right? So they both see the same issues. So, but one, in maturity, it is that there are things that I'll press in and do. Immaturity is depression. There's nothing I can do. This is my fault. All those kinds of things. So you learn to balance it. Overall, a crucial factor is you have to find your identity in Jesus Christ. So ministry does not fix things that are broken in you. Right? This is when people have rejection issues, when they have past wounds in their heart and soul. You understand that people who they often are driven, and what they're doing is they're driven to make up for. Someone told them they're worthless. I'll show you. I'll make a lot of money. I'll build a business. I'll do this. You see there? Now I'm worth something. That's what sinners do. When we apply that to the ministry, there are guys who are broken. There are areas of brokenness that they have not healed. And they think, if I have people call me pastor, if I can have my name on a flyer, if I can give a report at conference, I won't feel that way inside. And that is absolutely and completely wrong. As a matter of fact, it will make it worse in many ways. So the guy who, what you're asking, the guy who cannot balance that is often because he's not sorted out who he is in Jesus Christ. Is that as I said, I came to the conclusion in life, I have had people say nice things about me simply because they didn't know me. If they knew me more, they probably wouldn't say that. And then I've had people say bad things about me, and they were completely wrong. And so you learn that is my worth is not based on the numbers. Pastoring, pioneering is a roller coaster. That's the way it is. We had the highest service we ever had, and the next service no one comes. That's the way it is. You have one service, people say, Pastor, you're the most wonderful thing. I can't believe God brought you in my life. You've helped me so much. And the next one, they're calling you the Antichrist. That's ministry up and down. So, but my identity is in Jesus Christ. And so you learn over time that success doesn't change what I am inside. It doesn't make me a better person because I have large numbers or money or disciples or anything else. Yeah.
So kind of along that same line then, if something is your fault, if you do make a mistake when you're out there and you know it, that it was your fault, whether you confirm that with pastor or whoever, how do you process that then when you do make a mistake without being unhealthy about it?
Well, you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's number one. Perfection is too difficult. It's number one, it's impossible, but if you're trying for perfection, it's very difficult. So you have in balance in life that you we make mistakes, so you resolve it, own it, resolve it, fix it. Okay, I did that. I'm going to make every effort to not do that again. Why did I do that? Let's fix the root cause. So that's the but it's if someone who's going to, I am never going to make a mistake. That's why, guys come on staff. I tell them, you will make mistakes. I will kick your butt. It's not personal. I'm not doing that because I hate you. I'm not doing that because that's a vote on your entire worth. Is once we deal with that issue, we'll move on. I'll treat you normal. I don't hold it against you for the next 27 years because you didn't do something right. I mean, that's an unhealthy way to live. And again, those are things that we bring from our past, right? Someone where you were raised in an atmosphere where you had to be perfect or else you were attacked. Then you bring that in ministry and that's, I have to be perfect. It's not going to work, right? Sparrows fall. That's the way it is. Somebody else? Questions? Something you want to ask?
Yep. Would it be off topic to ask if you've dealt with the self-worth thing? You're not seeing the progress that you want out in the field, and you know it's not about you. You believe, and you have a good relationship with God and all that, but would you have a plan for figuring out why am I not seeing the success? Do you go like in a certain order?
Well, you actually are saying two completely different things. Worth and what you're doing are actually two very different things. Okay, that's your worth comes from Jesus Christ, period. Success or failure. If ministry doesn't go well, you come back for redirection. That had no bearing on your worth as an individual, because your worth is settled on the cross. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, came out of heaven to die for you. You can't get more love than that. How can you get what? Because I had 10 people come to church, I'm now worth more than the God of the universe dying for me? So that is a completely different issue. Ministry, however, yeah, analyzing. There may be, we were talking about this at breakfast yesterday. There are basic things. Hey, the revival didn't go well. That's because you didn't have any advertising. I mean, there are some basic issues like that. It can be people skills. You identify patterns. I keep getting these people and then they run away. Are you pushing too hard, too fast? That's a crucial thing. Do you have any people skills? Do you brush your teeth? That's a kind of basic issue. Breath mints is a wonderful invention. Things like that. Often it comes down to a matter of dominion. Do you have a supernatural dimension that can overcome obstacles? Which is why I press guys, there are a number of you right here, sitting here, and I want to go in the ministry, and I say, fine, show me that you can bear fruit. You need to break through now, because that's a dominion. That has nothing to do with worth. You're not worth more. If you bring 5 people to church this morning, you're not worth more. That has nothing to do with worth. But that has to do with a identifiable, sometimes it's identifiable, is we can say, this is what you are doing wrong, right? And sometimes it's not. It's just clear that you don't have a breakthrough dimension at this point in time. So we have to learn how to do that. Yep. Delbert.
Are you saying that develop an attitude for pioneering and figure out how to process everything that's going to befall you, success or not, that happens here. And then, because I got saved in a pioneer church.
Right.
And I've had firsthand, I've seen three pastors that, go through. We understood they were all, regular guys. Because talk to them like regular guys.
Sure.
They didn't present themselves as this and that. But one guy would, he'd go fishing, I'm done, Another guy would go on the attack, the first was the community, and then it was the church, you guys, this and that. And then another guy is like, whatever, we're not going to outreach. We're not going to press. And so...
And did either of those three approaches work? No, they did not, which is why you're here.
And then you come to a setting like this, you're like,
Relief, yeah. Yeah, so that it is a matter of you do attempt to process it, yes. So the bottom line, again... No one said, the whole point of Matthew chapter 10 is Jesus is being honest. It's not a sales job. How would you like to pioneer? Sunny beaches, wonderful, smiling people, lots of money. That's not what he says. He's honest. It's difficult. To me, pioneering was the most fun thing that I've ever done in my life. It was a blast. It was difficult, mind-bending at the same time. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was very enjoyable, very exciting to build something from nothing. But very difficult. It's the most difficult thing you'll ever do in your life. That's true.
You mentioned struggles benefiting us.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, I understand that when, you know, struggles, you know, they make us stronger. You know, it's the whole stretching, the whole.
Uh-huh.
But how can you determine, you know, what is from hell, and then what is just, you know, a difficulty or, you know, just something that's just going wrong?
Well, I don't think you have to determine it. I mean, the whole point of struggles benefiting you, you'll never know that until on down the road. It's years later. Yeah, years. There's no one. That's the whole issue of people who struggle. Why? No idea. Because I can't determine that right now. As I say, there are things that are so clear at the time, they tormented my mind sometimes for years, trying to work through and struggle and process. Looking back, I can go, oh, that's why that was good. That helped. And there are, in some ways, you know, strangely enough, there are things that I went through that absolutely I hated, resented, wept, you know, struggled over, but I wouldn't trade it now. But that's easy to say now, right? Because I'm over it. But that's the way it is. That's the way life is. So you can't. There's nobody in the middle of the struggle you can go, I see why this is happening. But years later. But everything is for your benefit. That is the real truth in life. If you trust in God, you will see that good things will come out of it.
Yep. You mentioned that worth and value is not numerical, but to a certain degree, our success we do base, you know, on some factor of, you know, numerics, right? And people coming and the success over time and things of that nature.
Okay, but again, this is what I was saying to Phil. These are two completely different issues. So we have worth and value is determined by Jesus Christ on the cross. God's love for you, that God himself will confess. That cannot change no matter whether you do good or bad numerically. Okay, that's a value issue, a worth issue. However, right, I have conversations with guys. You have been there X number of years. We are still giving you support. We cannot continue that. So you have 6 months, and in 6 months, if you can't sort that out, or, you know, you've been there a while, you're getting no response of any kind, you need to come back and work this out, do something else. But that has nothing to do with value. That is not a value issue. That is a stewardship issue, right? As a pastor, I can't continue years and years and years later. We can't continue to pour money into someone who is demonstrated that they cannot process issues of dominion. But that's not a worth issue. That has nothing to do with worth. You are worth less. But this guy, look at him. He's running 50 people. He's worth more. That's a practical dimension. Something is missing that needs to be worked out. You got to come, rethink this, recharge, refocus. That's the whole point of redirection. That's not a worth issue. That's why we begin our conference announcements by recognizing those who are being redirected. So we clap for them. We appreciate the fact of their labors. We don't hide them away. Right. Like, come in the back door and wear a mask. Right. Yep. So the whole issue is the kingdom of God operates completely different. The world doesn't operate that way. The world only values success. And that's not the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, it's very difficult for us to ever separate. I'm not succeeding, but somehow I still have value. How can that be? Because that's a Christian understanding. That's a godly understanding. That's not a worldly or sinner value. Somebody else.
Thinking.
Yep.
I think a lot of times, what you were talking about with the, you don't know if
Yeah. So there's, you know, it's not a formula. So, you know, Caleb asks, and you're repeating kind of the same thing. So let's differentiate something here, and that is, how do you know if something is from hell, and almost, or if it's from God? You know, it's going to be good later on. There is no differentiation. Okay? So something that is from hell still will be from God ultimately. So it's, it's incorrect to look at, okay, was this sickness, this job loss, this tragedy, was that the devil did that or did God do that? God wakes up in the morning and goes, all right, it's tragedy day. It's all from hell in one sense. It can be Joseph, yeah, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So you shouldn't differentiate, this is a from hell problem, or this is a God hell problem. It's all from hell. So that's just kind of I'm just correcting a kind of a misunderstanding. But overall, Vince, is that the whole point of the Christian life is that it's not meant to be formalistic. It's meant to be a relationship. Right. So if you have a relationship with God, number one, if you have a right heart and you want to do right, you'll get there in the end. God will help you in the end. So you that's the whole point is, God, I don't really know what to do. I'm going to try. And so that means then the steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord. That doesn't mean that you're never going to take detours, that you're never going to make mistakes. It's not like if I was really hearing from God, then I would never make a misstep. That's not true. It's, but the issue is, if you keep your heart right with God overall, when we know we did wrong, fix it. When we make a misstep, get back on course. But ultimately, God, I don't know. I want you to lead me. And so you imagine in decisions, I am amazed, Vince, in my position, I not only have to make all the decisions for myself, my own life, my own family, then I got to make decisions that affect the church, and then I'm making decisions that affect people all around the world. That's why my prayer over and over is, God, you got to help me. You got to show me. You got to lead me. I start every prayer every day with, God, you got to help me today. Give me wisdom. I'm leaning not on my own understanding, right? Make my path straight. Help me. I'm acknowledging you. And so in that, what I discover is there are times where I make a decision that it wasn't like, you know, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Be like this. It'd be great. If I'm going to make a decision, I think I'll do this. And all of a sudden, a light shined from it. Whoa! It's like, that was a good decision. But life's not like that. It's like, sometimes I do the best that I can. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then I look back and like, wow, that was really good. But overall, is that will only happen if I continually, God, this, I need you. You've got to guide me. You've got to help me. And then you wind up, even there are things that then I wind up, it's like, man, I got there in the end. That's the confidence I have in God. God will help you in the end. Tony.
Do you believe that pioneering is for everyone or only certain people?
Pioneering is for, well, let's differentiate. I mean, pioneering is clearly not for everyone because not everyone is called. So, I mean, that would be the first part of the equation. The second part of the equation is there would be people who, there is personality involved, personality issues. There are guys that, if we have a choice, often in, you know, let's say concert directors, I often give them a choice, if it's possible, would you like to, what would you prefer to do? Would you like to pioneer or take a church? There are guys that, to me, going into a city where there is nothing, that's very exciting to me. I like it. There are other guys that's terrifying. They don't want to do that. They would rather, and they would do better with a group of people. So that, if you can work that out, it's possible. There are other guys that maybe they would rather not pioneer, like to take a group of people, but they got some really rough edges that they wouldn't do well. If we gave them a group of people, they would run them all off in a week and a half. So perhaps pioneering would be better for you. Right? So, yeah, there's lots of facts. Life is complicated, isn't it? There's a lot of things to consider.
You've said many times that
we're talking a lot about going through issues when pioneering. You've always said, "What? Go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this?" Is there scriptures that you can maybe even memorize just because of those situations?
Yeah.
That you have went to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because of something that was, you didn't want to accept a certain.
Yeah. So, I mean, what again, you're talking about in pioneering overall, you have a range of issues that are universal, right? Number one is fruitfulness. What does God say about fruitfulness? Number two, there is resistance and demonic assaults of resisting or attacking in the church. What does the Bible say about dominion and power over hell? Then it may be that you're struggling financially. What does the Bible say about finances? Those are three major areas. Then if you're feeling assaulted to, or you're taking this personal, that I have no worth in life because my numbers aren't good, what does the Bible say about my worth? So you got to break it into practical things. Yeah. So, but those are, again, I've shown you lists of scriptures before. To me, they weren't lists. All of those were battles. I didn't put those together just one day with idle time. I think I'll study. It was, I was going through hell. Something has to change. So I went to found what God's word had to say. Yep. Good.
Have you ever written sermons in pioneering that were written to yourself? Is there something that you were going through and then you sort of preached it to the church?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pulled the altar call and said, "I see that hand." That's right. Repeat after me. Sure. Yeah, sure. Many times.
I mean, the reason why I bring that up is because I've even done that just in my Bible studies.
Sure.
You know, I'm like, this is, I don't even feel like I should preach this. I feel like I should have this preach to me.
But isn't that what did I preach a week and a half ago? Is the farmer must be first partaker of the fruit. And that's what that means. It has to apply to you, first of all. Preaching is not just, I got a lot of stuff to say to you people. It's got us to speak to you personally first, yeah. Yeah, sure. So that doesn't invalidate the Word of God. So, you know, if you're living as a hypocrite, you know, you're a total dirtbag, you know, you should fix that. But the fact that you are preaching something to somebody else that applies to you doesn't invalidate it. It's not like I can't preach on trusting God until I fully work this out. So you all are going to have to wait. Right? So there may be things that you're going to wait for a long time. So, yep, it's valid. Very good. Okay.